holding on Kuf Ayin Hey on the days at the beginning of the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah a couple of various cases where you can only collect from the Chassim Bnei Chorin, only from the Chassim that the Loiv actually had in his possession at the time. One of them was a case where it was a Milval Pen, where there wasn't a Shtab. So the Gemara starts off, Omar Ola, Dvar Torah, Mina Torah, Echad Milva B'Shtab, Echad Milval Peh, Govermin Chassim B'Shabadim. Mina Torah, he says, regardless whether it's a Shtab, regardless whether it's by heart, whether it's verbal, either way you could collect from the Chassim B'Shabadim. You could collect from property that the loiva had afterwards sold to somebody else. My timer, why is that? Because he holds shibud d'oraisa. He holds the concept of the shibud, this that we say that there's a shibud on the karka, even after he sells it to somebody else, that exists d'oraisa. The ela matam omer milval pein agoga elon chasim nechorin. So why taka did the chachamim say, like we said in our Mishnah, that if it's a milval pein, they took that ability away and said that you can only collect from the chasim nechorin? The reason is Mishum Pseidu the Lakochas, because they were worried about the loss of the Lakochas. The Lakochas are not going to have, if it's a Milval pair, there's no Shtar, there's no Koyal, there's no nothing. They have no way of knowing that they're taking their chances with this purchase. And therefore the Chachamim didn't want them to lose that. Different Rishonim talk about what would Taka be the underlying basis. Where does, fine, he says Shibuda Daraisa. Where does he get the idea that Shibuda Daraisa from? So they talk about a number of various possible things, including, we learned in the Gemara the other day, yesterday or the day before, that a person's mechasim are an ariv for him, so in that sense, so there's that, that therefore there, we can say that the shibud daraisa, on a daraisa level, the shibud exists on those mechasim. There can be the idea, there's the fact that the Torah says that the Torah talks about the loiva bringing out an avoid, something for a mashkon, to the malva, where we say that the malva can't go into the house to take it, but the loiva brings one out, implying that he has a certain obligation, there's a certain obligation on his property to pay off his loan. Question is, if you're going to say you're worried about the lakuchas losing out, why don't you say the same thing if there's a shtar as well? The answer is awesome. Because in that case, if there's a shtar, there's a curl, they themselves are the ones. They cause themselves the loss. They're taking their chances. As we say, we take the commonplace thing throughout Shas that when there's a shtar with Adim, then there's a curl. So therefore, they know that there's a shibud over here, and fine, they're taking their chances. Okay, that's all. The Rabba Omer, whereas Rabba says the other way around. Rabba says on the contrary. Mina Torah, whether it's Bishtar or whether it's Alpeh, you would not be allowed to collect from only from Nechosim and Echorim, not from Mishabodim ever. Midaraisa. My time, Shibud allowed Daraisa, because Fakir, he says the whole concept of Shibud is not Daraisa. So why, in that case, did the Chachamim say that a milva b'shtar you have to be able to collect from you are able to collect from nechasim b'shabadim? The reason is because he didn't want to lock the door in front of borrowers. In other words, people are not going to be willing to lend money if they know that they're only going to be able to collect from b'nei chorin, and therefore all the guy has to do after he borrows the money is sell all his karka, and then you have no recourse. Okay. So the question is, in that case, then why don't you apply the same logic to a milval pair? The answer is hosam less lekola. Fine, but in that milval pair, there's no curl, so therefore the chachamim didn't want to extend this idea of shibud to that case, because again, then you have the problem. Then you're making the lakuchas lose out, where they didn't even know that there was a chance that the guy borrowed money, and therefore that they may be on the hook. So there's a sikha, by the way, in Chelek Lama Dalet, where the Rebbe once discussed this idea. He explains that when we say Dvar Torah, according to Rabbah, that Mina Torah you should only be able to collect from the Chosim Nechorin, the idea Dvar Torah meant, in other words, when people, it doesn't just mean Mina Torah versus Midrabanan, it also means when people were on a higher level. There was no problem of Shalitino Delos Bifnei Loivin, because everybody realized at the beginning that your money is not yours, your money is the Eivishter's, Malvav Shem Chonin Dal. Therefore, they weren't so worried about you lending money and then you're taking your chances, you may not get it back or whatever. Later on, as that time went on and Jewish society deteriorated, and they saw, the Chachamim saw, there begins to be a problem of Shalitino Delos Bifnei Loivin, then they had to make this tachon.
Rabbanan, or something,
Well, what we mean is, in the words, so you have the didodite, which was meant for, I mean, the Abishim knew, of course, that that eventually they're not going to be on this level, but the Hatzilah, the din, was given according to the level that they were on, but they left it open for the Chachamim, as usual, with dinim ominous. The Chachamim have broad latitude to change things if necessary, because they have to be based in Hefker, and this would be an example of that. The question is, did the Rabba really say such a thing, that he's saying that Shibud is not Daraisa? But we find that Rabba said earlier on, in the 8th parak, we had a case over there involving a bechur. Did he collect a double portion of a milver that their father had lent somebody money while he's alive? Now, after he dies, the milver is due. So we said over there that Omar Rabba, Gavu Karka Yeshle, Gavu Mois Engle. Rabba said that if the Yoshim collected Karka to pay off the debt, then he's entitled to a double portion of it, because then it's not considered Roy, it's not something that potentially is going to be part of the estate, it's considered something that's already now part of the estate. Why? Because Shibuda Daraisa. And only if they collected money is metalphalin, money there's no shibud on, then we would say he doesn't get a double portion of it. So therefore, on the contrary, Rabba seems to be saying there that shibud is deraisa. Otherwise the whole thing wouldn't work. So you might answer, okay, maybe we need to switch around the opinions of Rabba and of Ula. Or the Rashbam has a different gear over here. Maybe you should flip around what Rabba himself said. Maybe it's the other way around. If they collected money in payment to the debt, then you could consider that it's muhsak, because he lent him money and now you're getting back money. As opposed to Karta, you could argue Shibud is not Daraisa, and therefore it was only Roy. It wasn't something that was part of the estate now, if you're going to say that. But we find that it doesn't work either, because we find a different statement that Ula said that would contradict that. If we were going to say that Ula is the one who says, we started by saying that Ula is the one who says Shibud Daraisa. If you're going to flip things around, either there are two opinions, or you're going to flip around what Rabba himself said, either way, it would amount to that Rabba is the one who says Shibud Daraisa, that would mean Ula is the one who says Shibud is not Daraisa. The problem with that is, but we find that Ula himself said, that Minatora, about Chayv, is entitled to collect only from Ziburis, and only Midrabanan, did they upgrade him to Beninis, because again, Shleitino Delos, if they're Loiv, and nobody's going to be willing to lend money if they know that the only character they can get out of it is going to be Ziburis. But the point is that we're saying, Minatora, he's entitled to Ziburis. Therefore, Shibuda Daraisa, which fits with what he's saying over here, but that means you can't flip anything around, so you're still left with the contradiction within what Rabba is saying. Here he's saying Shibuda Lav Daraisa, but in the case of the Bechor, he's implying that Shibud is Daraisa. The answer is Ella Rabba Taima Divnei Ma Rabba Kam of Leilei Sridalei. No, yes. So you have to answer Rabba over there in that sugya is only explaining. This that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael sent a case over there and said that a Bechur is entitled to get a double portion of a milver. He's explaining what's the circumstances where they would say that. He himself doesn't have to agree with that. They can be holding Shibud Daraisa, like Ola is saying over here, and Rabba is explaining, if you say Shibud Daraisa, then there will be a difference between whether they collected Karka to pay off the debt or Mois. I myself hold Shibud is not Daraisa, and therefore the whole din wouldn't come in the first place. More opinions on this. Rav and Shmuel d'Ami Tavai, Rav and Shmuel both say Milval Pe'ena Goy V'Lomina Yoshin V'Lomina Lepus. They say that a Milval Pe'a, that's a verbal loan, you can't collect from Yoshim, you also can't collect from the Lepus. In other words, you can only collect from the Chosim B'nei Chorin, from the Chosim that the Loiva himself has. My time is Shibud Lav Yaraisa. Because in other words, they hold the same as we're saying that Rav holds, that the Shibud is not Yaraisa. So therefore we don't apply it. So again, like Ola said, when it comes to a milva b'shtar, fine, the Mekuchas knew they were taking their chances. Therefore you can collect it from them. But when it's a milva alpeh, then not. Oh no, faket, rather, we're saying like Rabba, we're saying that Shibud alav daraisa. So with a milva b'shtar, loitino shalotino delos mifnei loitino. But other than that, we want to say that you can't collect from that you can't collect from the Kuchos with a milvah alpeh. Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Shimon and Lakish Dami Tavayu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yechonon and Rish Lakish say milvah alpeh goyve beimina Yoshin beimina Lakuchos. You could collect from Yoshin. You could collect from the Kuchos. My time is Shibud is Daraisa because they hold that the Shibud is Daraisa. Therefore, you still have to be able to collect from the Yosemite. You still have to be able to collect from the Kuchos. They're not worried about this that we said before, Mishum Seder Lakuchos. They're saying, in other words, they're essentially disagreeing with the Mishnah, or not really disagreeing, they can't really disagree with the Mishnah per se, but they're saying the Mishnah might be talking about a specific case, such as, they could be saying, for example, that the Mishnah is talking about after the Takanas Chachamim, not a separate special case. The Mishnah is talking after the Takanas Chachamim, they're talking about on the Daraisa level. Which again, like Ola said, Minat Torah, you should be able to collect from the Chasim and Shabbatim either way. The Gemara says Maisi, but I have a contradiction. You're telling me then you have Rav and Shmuel saying that Shibud alav Daraisa, that the Shibud doesn't exist on the Daraisa level, but I'll bring you a Braisa that gives you a case where it does, and where in fact you can collect on the basis of a Shibud from Yerushalayim. The Braita says, if somebody digs a pit in Rishus Rabim, the Nafalal of Sherva Horgoy, and then having dug the pit in Rishus Rabim, and now he's standing there in the pit, a Sher falls on top of him and kills him right there in the pit, Potter. Then the owner of the Sher is Potter, because the other guy had no business digging a burr in Rishus Rabim, so he's the one now who's liable. Vloyoid, and not only that, if the shur dies from the fall, Yoshe Balaber, Hayavan Lashan, May Shah Labilo, then the Yoshim of the owner of the pit are gonna have to pay that back the value of the shur. So there we see, in other words, this is a milval pair, there's no shtar involved over here, and yet we're saying you collect from the Yoshim. There is a concept the Gemara talks about in a few other places. There is something called the milvak silver batoda. There's a concept the Gemara discusses in a few places. If you have a debt that's written in the Torah, like in this case, where the Torah says that if you cause somebody's ox damage that you have to pay, maybe that can be considered a milva b'shtar. But our Gemara is not taking that view. Our Gemara is taking the perspective that it's still a milva alpeh. And yet you see you're collecting from Yoshim. So how do Rav and Shmuel understand that? If they say that minat Torah you're not collecting from, or that you're not collecting from Yoshim or from Matofas. Amar Rav Ila, Amar Rav v'sha'amad v'din. So Rav Ila answers, in the name of Rav, you're actually talking about that, you're talking about, it's not the guy died right there in the burial. You're talking about before he died, there was a chance they were able to bring the case to Beis Din, and Beis Din passed in that he's obligated to pay the Baal Asher for the dead Sher. Well, then that already is considered like a milvah b'shtar. Because if the idea is a milvah b'shtar, first of all, I mean, Beis Din usually writes these things down. Maisa Beis Din is usually written. But besides that, anyway, the point of a shtar we just said before is that there's a curl. When Beis Din decides that there's also a curl. Therefore, you know already that therefore a shibud already takes place, and therefore the lakochos know to look out, and therefore you can collect from the Yerushim as well. Okay, the question is, v'ho hoga katani? The Mishnah said that the shur fell on the guy in the burr and killed him. So there's no Amar Badin after that. The answer is Amar Rabadababa Shaso Trefa. So Rabadababa says doesn't literally mean that the shur killed him. It means he made him a Trefa. Eventually he's going to die from this, but no, there was still time to take him to Beis Din. Take the person to Beis Din, the person who dug the burr. The question.
Person's not dead yet.
No, that's right. The question is, "V'ha'amar Rav Nachman Toni Tana Mesukvaroi," but Rav Nachman says that he had a version of the Braisa that actually says that we're talking about that the person actually died there in the burr and he buried him over there, which means the Rashbam says that the shur fell on him and then buried him in the ground at the bottom of the burr. Or the Rimigash says a little differently. He's buried under the shur. From Tei Furase, that's it. His matzeva is the shur. Anyway, the point is he's dead and buried over there, wasn't it? The answer is Hosam Diyosve Dayana Apumi Debeir of Chivu. Yes, but we can still be talking. Rav and Shmuel can still understand that the situation in the Braisa is, suppose the Beis Din happens to be sitting right there by the edge of the burr. So what happens is the sheriff falls on the guy, makes him a traitor, he's on the verge of dying. They have a chance right then and there to sit in judgment and decide that he is obligated to pay. Then a couple of minutes or whatever it is later, he dies of his injuries. But since it was decided by Basin, then his yosh should have to pay. It's not a very realistic thing necessarily, but it could happen. You could have a case. However, the Ritva actually points out from this Gemara an interesting point. When you get down to it, I mean, if the guy is near death over there in the burr, don't you need to, if you're going to have a base, if you're going to have a din torah, you need both parties to be able to be present. How is the guy able to stand up for himself in base din if he's crushed at the bottom of the burr under the shirt? The Ritva says, therefore, we see from that, evidently, in order for this to work, we would have to say it means, and he says this happens more generally if for whatever reason a person isn't able to come to Beis Din. Beis Din will appoint a representative to represent him in Beis Din. The din torah still has to happen, because the fact of the matter is he caused the other guy's shur to die by digging his illegal burr over there. And if you don't do something, then according to Rav and Shmuel, you're never going to be able to collect on these mezakin. And we don't want that people are going to cause mezakin, and there's not going to be any recourse. Therefore, you're going to have to appoint somebody to represent him in Beis Din. Ein Rachmin Badin. Rachmanus is all very nice when you're talking between one year and another. If the Baal Asher wants to have Rachmanus, and he goes into hate. Beis Din is obligated to decide the halacha as it is. We're going to learn that actually next week in Sanhedrin about the whole concept of Shura versus Yukav Adin and Sahar. We'll get to it. We'll get to it in a few days.
The whole idea of star is the
maybe, but not necessarily the same kind of curl that there would be that there have to be Edom after all. Well, okay, in this case, but it's still, it's not the same thing as having something written down or having something officially taking place. I mean, okay, so they know the guy, they know the sheriff fell on the guy, and they know the whole thing. They don't know the details. Does he end up having to pay? Were there maybe mitigating circumstances or whatever? Now, by the way, all of this is only according to Rav and Shmuel. The halacha in the end is not like them. The halacha is, as we're going to say in a second, that you can collect from Yoshin, but not from the corpus with a mil val peh. Therefore, in the end, the maskana, we don't need this whole akimta. We can say very simply, any case, because it's a mil val peh. Nevertheless, a mil val peh, you can always collect from Yoshin. So you don't need this whole detailed scenario. So in fact, Amar Papa, Kilchasa, the bottom line halacha, Milval Peh, Gozman al Yoshin, Vayna Gozman al Kochas. The bottom line is, a Milval Peh, you can collect from Yoshin with the details over there. Okay, we say you want to collect from Yoshin, you need the square Shavua, and the Yosemim can claim that our father paid off, et cetera, fine. But in principle, you can collect from the Yoshin. The Ena Gozman al Kochas, but you can't collect from the Kochas. Collect from Yoshim that you can do because you don't want to lock the door in front of Loivim. In other words, you don't want that people are not going to be willing to lend money anymore because they figure there's too much of a chance the guy may die without paying it off, and I'll never be able to collect from Yoshim. So again, I mean, we talked about the other day, there can be the case where we have reason to think the debt may have been paid off. Story I have to say or whatever, but if you have the situation, for example, we said over there, the Shamte or Mes Shamte, for example, that based on put him in Chayrim, and he died still in Chayrim, never having paid off, or if he was murdered before he died or whatever, that's the case we're talking about, you can collect from Yoshin. There ain't a Gozman al Kochas, but you can't collect from the Kochas, the less they call it, because again, you have no coil, and therefore the Kochas don't know that they're taking their chances buying from this guy. Tosfos discusses, by the way, so Rav Papa is not really getting into the meat of the question: is shibud d'oraisa or not? He's saying what the bottom line halacha is, who you can and who you can't collect from, but he's not really getting into. So what is the bottom line? Is shibud d'oraisa or is shibud not d'oraisa? Tosfos says that actually that you have a Gemara here that maybe goes one way, and you have a Gemara in Kedushin that goes the other way. So the Gemara is sort of maybe leaving it open according to Rav Papa. You have elsewhere, for example, Rav Papa talks about Shibuda Daraisa. Tosfos says that may be talking about in certain cases involving Korbanos or whatever. The actual halacha, most of the Rishonim do say that in the end the halacha is that Shibuda is Daraisa. So not only in the case of Korbanos, but more generally as well. Then the Mishnah continued. We said that another case in the Mishnah was that a person that a malva brings out a shar written or signed whatever in the loiva's own handwriting that says that he owes him X amount of money. There's no edim, no nothing, so it can't really be considered a shtar, but nevertheless it has the advantage that now he's able to collect from the chasam and echorin. There is, by the way, there's a machlokas rishonim. Does the loiva have the ability to claim on such a thing that I paid him? Or maybe not. Maybe since is it considered a shtar to the extent that now the loiva can't say I paid it, or maybe not. Okay. Anyway, Bamine Rab Nosin Rab Yechanan, Bamine Rabban Nosin Rab Yechanan, Huch Sav Yodi based in Mai. What about later on, after the loiva gave the malva this handwritten shtar that he owes him money, later on, the case comes to Beis Din. The loiva is moide in front of Beis Din that this is in fact his signature, so it's not forged or anything. And Beis Din wrote a henpech on it to validate the shtar. Mai, what would be the din? In that case, now does it become maybe like a shtar that has edim in it? Maybe now you should be able to collect from the shabbatim. Maybe now it has a curl. So maybe, in other words, the tiyum makes it better than it was before. Like this, when it was hoitiyot sadiyadoi, he could only collect from b'nei chorin. Maybe the tiyum makes it better and makes it that now he can collect from the shabbatim. Or maybe not. Maybe just the tiyum makes it takes away any possibility of the loiva claiming that it's forged or what have you. But it, nevertheless, it doesn't upgrade it to the shabbatim. It still keeps it at b'nei chorin. Amalei, so Rabbi Yechanan answers, Ach pishoch, that Sav Yadir b'Beis Din ain't a goyva elam b'nechasim b'nei chorin. No, even in this case, when Beis Din wrote a henpech on it, nevertheless, you can still only collect from b'nechasim b'nei chorin. We're not saying maybe so the shibud wouldn't start as of that day. Maybe it would start as of the date of the henpech or pashtus. Masiv Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama does ask a question on this. We have a Mishnah at the end of Gittin that says like this: Shloisha Gittin Psulim. There are three cases where get is possible midrabanan, so she can't get remarried. The imnisis of lab kosher, but if she did use one of these Gittin to get remarried, then b'dieved we say her children are kosher. We don't consider them mamzerim. Number one, ve'elohim, kos of ksav yadu ve'en olav edim. Case number one is where he wrote the husband wrote the get in his own handwriting, but there's no edim sign on it. Edim asira tarki, so you have edim asira, but you don't have edim chasima. Number two, yesh olav edim ve'en bezman. Number two, there are edim signed in it, but there's no date written on the shtar. Or number three, yesh bezman ve'en ba'ela edim. Or number three is where there's a date on it, but there's only one aid. There's only one aid signed on it, not two. These are the three gittin that are possible, but nevertheless, if she remarried with one of these gittin and b'dieved, it's okay, and the blood is kosher. So we see from that, in other words, that the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Loza, Alpha Pisha Ein Olav Edim. Rabbi Loza says no. Even if there's no Edim signed in it at all, that's not one of the three kinds that's kosher only b'dieved. Elisha Nosni Olav Efne Edim. As long as he gave it to her in the presence of Edim. Kosher, meaning the chatzila, the goyim and the chasim, and she will be able to collect, If a case like this, if there was a similar case, not involving a get, but rather involving a different shtar, involving a shtar chayv, you would be able to collect from the chasim and the shabbatim, because you have edi b'sira. So even hoitziyol of ksaviyadari, and you know, even before Beis Din gives a henpech, as long as you have edim asira, you can collect from nechasim b'shabadim. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, and that's because the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, the edim asira character. So that being the case, then, what are you telling me if a character of Yechanan, that even if huchza ksaviyadari Beis Din, even if Beis Din went so far as writing a henpech on it, you still can only collect from nechasim b'nechorin, according to Rabbi Elazar in this Mishnah, you could actually collect from the chasam b'shabadim even if there was no henpech, as long as there were edim asira. The answer is shani chasam. It's different in that case. The mishas ksiva who deshabed nafshi, because in that case, as soon as he wrote the shtar, He was Meshavet himself because he wrote the Shtar in order to give it in front of Edim. He intended that there won't be Edim Hasima, but rather there'll be Edim Asira. So in other words, a quantity of a law, Edim Asira Parti. So therefore, fine, Edim Asira stand in the place of Edim Hasima. The case of our Mishnah, though, is that all it is, he didn't write the Shtar intending that it should be given in the presence of Edim. The only thing this Shtar was meant to accomplish to begin with is that it amounts to a Hedah. Later on, the lawyer will not be able to turn around and say, Paraiti. Now, later on, the Malva comes to Beis Din and wants to be Mekayim it. So you still, the Kiyum of Beis Din can't make it something that it wasn't before. When you gave it, if you were to give it in presence of Edim, yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's the case of Gittin over there. But here he never wrote the Shtar intending to give it in front of Edim at all. Therefore, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Even though Beis Din made a Kiyum on it, nevertheless, that doesn't make it the equivalent of there being Edim on it. All it makes it is that now the lawyer can't claim that it's forged either. The shibud of paying off the ksuba, right? I mean, but when we say over here after she'enel of edim gozim and chasim shabadim, that's we're not talking about a get. We're talking about a regular case of a shtar chay. We're saying two different dinim. If it's a get, then Rabbi Lazar holds that it's a kosher get because it was given with edim asira. And in a separate case, if a similar scenario were to happen with a shtar chay, then you would be able to collect from the chasim shabadim. Now you're right. Actually, the Rashbam mentions at the very end of the Rashbam Hachikasin and Shiny Hossam, a few lines from the end, he says some people have the girsa that in the Gemara instead of Meshas Ksiba, but Meshas Ksuba. But the Rashbam says doesn't like that. He says V'lo Yodru L'Shitas Hashmur. Those people who have that girsa don't understand what the sugya is saying over here, because as Tosfos points out. The implication would be that Rabbi Lazar would be saying that at least you have to have Edim sign on a ksuba. And that's not true. According to Rabbi Lazar, a ksuba can also be given only with Edim Asira. With that said, there are Rishonim who accept that girsa Meshach ksuba, and they discuss it in various ways, what it means exactly, that maybe we can distinguish between a case of a ksuba and a get versus a case of a shtar chay. Alright, then we said in the Mishnah, Orev HaYotze L'Acha Chitum Shtoris. We said in the Mishnah that if you have the Orev is signed in the Shtar Chayv after the signatures of Edim, then we said, we had a Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Benanas. Rabbi Shmuel said that in that case, the Malva can, in the cases where you can collect from the Orev, he can only collect from the Orev and the Chosim B'nei Chorin, because the Edim are not actually signed on the statement that he's an Orev, because his statement comes only after their signatures. And Banana said he can't collect at all because such a thing can't really be considered arevu. Because he says, Banana uses the rule, shaloi ala munafe hilvahu, that the key thing, whether he's an arev or not, is did the malva trust this guy at the time that he lent the money? So, Omer Rav, kodim chitim shtaris, if the arev is written into the shtar before the signatures, so you have the body of the shtar, then ani arev, and then the signatures of the edim, then goes on a chasim mishabadim. Then you can collect from the orev and the chasim mishabadim. But if he, like the Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Shmuel, which we'll say soon, the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, if he's written after the signatures of Edim, then you can only collect from the chasim nechorim. Zimnin omer Rav, but there were other times when Rav said differently. After the kodim chitim shtaris, no, even if the orev is written into the shtar before the signatures of Edim, even then, ain't a goyva elam nechasim nechorin. Even then, you can only collect from his nechasim nechorin. Kasha the Rav adrab. So we have a contradiction within what Rav himself is saying. The answer is by Kasha. Ha dekasabe plaini orev, ha dekasabe uplaini orev. There's a difference whether you write it with a vav or not. If you write the body of the shtar and then you write plaini orev, then it means that maybe the edim are actually not giving edus, maybe they're not certifying this statement that plaini orev, they're referring to the previous part of the shtar, they're referring to the body of the shtar. They're not necessarily giving edus that plaini is an orev, as opposed to if you write u plaini orev, then it means the edim, when they sign, are signing on both the body of the shtar and that plaini is an orev, so you put them together by adding that vav. Vav moitzes al inyan rishon, as the Gemara uses the expression in a number of places. The Vav makes it the continuation of the text of the Shtar, and therefore they're signing on that as well.
I don't want to say that any of this is only on the site there.
Because there's no sense in signing only on Pliny Orev if there's no Shtar. What is he in Orev on? So if we have to assume they're only signing on one thing and not another, the Pashtos, we should assume they're signing on the Shtar rather than and not on the Pliny Orev. No, but that
didn't finish it.
Our party we're going to have next week, as to them. No. So we said the aim of made in the Shita Achrona. The Shita Achrona usually summarizes what the Shtar itself says. So therefore, you have a partial. You have enough information in that Shita Achrona that in principle the Edom could be signing only on that. Shiva Strong we're going to talk about in a second. Now we're going to talk about in the case of Yitin. So that's one opinion. Rabbi Yechanan says, in either case, you can only collect from Nechasim and Echorin. The Afagab Bekosabe or Pliny Orev, which sounds like it means, even if you write U Pliny Orev, and even if it's before the signatures of the Edim, even then you can only collect from Nechasim and Echorin. It sounds like, according to Rabbi Yechanan, there's no case where you could ever collect from an Orev in Nechasim and Shabbatim. Massive Rava, so Rava asks on that, from the case that you talked about, that you just asked about, Mendel, Shela Stralin, a Mishnah says, Bryce actually says in Gittin, Edim Achasudim al Shela Stralin Beget, if you have Edim signed on a Shela Stralin, on something where he's greeting, for example, at the end of the Get, he says, give regard to Pliny, or whatever, then they sign, then it's possible. Hashin and Shemal Shelas Sholem Chosmu. Because we have to be concerned. Maybe they only sign on the greetings. Maybe they're only, it's like a birthday card. You're signing the office birthday card. You're not necessarily signing on everything that's above it. The Amar Rabba Bahu and Rabba Bahu says on that, L'didimi farshali minei de Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan personally explained to me that there's a difference. She'ilu pasul u she'ilu kosher. If he writes over there after the body of the guest, after Kedat Moshe of Yisrael, he says, without a vav, give my regards to Pliny, then it's pasul. But if it said u she'ilu, then it's kosher, because then we assume the Edim are signing on both, the guest as well as the She'ilas Shalim. So then, in that case, why would Rabbi Yechanan say any differently over here? The answer is Hachanami, the kosher Pliny Orev. Yeah, you're right. When would Rabbi Yechanan say it's possible in this case, not possible, that the guy is not an Orev, would be if he wrote Pliny Orev. Because then we can say the Edim are not, because then we can say the Edim are only signing on the Shtar itself, not on the Pliny Orev. Question is, Yehochi Hainu de Rab? Fine, then in that case, Rabbi Yechanan is saying the same thing as Rab. We presented it like a Machlokes. The answer is Eimah v'chein Omer Rabbi Yechanan. It's not a machlokes. Rabbi Yechanan said the same thing as Rab. He just put it in different terms. There are Rishonim that point out there is a reason to make a certain distinction. Going back to your question, why don't we say the Edim are only signing on the fact that he's an Orev? They point out it's one thing. Arevus goes together with a Shtar. Again, Arevus by itself doesn't really mean anything without a Shtar, but they do logically fit together. Arevus plus a Shtar plus the statement that Pliny is an Orev, they do logically fit together, as opposed to a Get and She'il Astralim don't really go together. A Get is supposed to be Chrysus, you're cutting yourself off from her. She'il Astralim is saying hello to her or to somebody else. So therefore, there's more reason to think the Edim are not signing on the Get at all, rather they're only signing on the She'il Astralim, if you don't write Vishalu.
They say that
they
can sign a book.
But if you have without the vav, then you have two. It is two things that have a certain connection, but nevertheless, you didn't bother connecting them, and therefore we can say the Edim are signing on only one and not the other. Given that there's no sense in signing that he's an Orev, if there's no Shtar, then we would have to assume it's the Shtar and not the Arev. As opposed to, if he says Uploini, then at least there's more logic to put them together.
Don't even go off to the last one. But here you're saying,
but that's the difference.
These are connected.
Because the Sheila Shalom.
I understand that the
But that's the difference, because the She'ilas Shalem has a meaning on its own.
Right.
The Pliny Odev doesn't really have a meaning on its own.
Right, once you start saying that they're kind of connected, then I want to say that they're connected, that it's still
be piloted by me. Okay, but nevertheless, we're saying that the, no, Pliny Odev is still hifzik in. You still have to be concerned that maybe there's, yeah. Then we said in the Mishnah, Maiso Polifnei Rabbi Shmuel Chola, we had the whole discussion between Rabbi Shmuel and Benanus over this question of the Orev, and in that connection, Benanus brought in the case of Chonetes Echa Bashuk, where you have... The original question was the Orev came after the Chitum Shtoris, after the Shtar is signed. So Benanus had said that that's not an Orev at all. So Rabbi Shmuel says, so Rabbi Shmuel asked him why. Benanus explains, let me draw an analogy. If you have, the Malva had lent the Loiva money a long time ago. Now, he still has never been paid off. So one day he meets the Loiva in the street and starts grabbing him by the neck, knew where's my money. And another person comes by and says, a Nebuch, leave him alone, I'll be the Orev. Then we said, he's not really an Orev. Shaloy amunah se'ovah. He didn't lend him on his amunah. He never lent him trusting this guy, because this other guy, the guy who's now saying, I'll be an Orev, was never in the picture at the time. Therefore, by the same logic, he wasn't in the picture at the time, but when the Edom signed the Shtar. So then we said to Rabbi Shmuel, finished off the Mishnah by praising Benanus, that if you want to be a chacham, you should be involved in dini mamonos, and if you want to really participate in dini mamonos, you should be learning and serving under Shimon Benanus as a Talmud. By the way, Marsha talks about, we didn't have a chance to mention yesterday, but Marsha talks about an idea that we're going to learn when we start Sanhedrin, which hopefully we'll start a little bit of it tonight, that the Mishnah is going to mention over there that you have dinim mominus, have to be judged by three, by a base din of three, and also gzeilus v'chavolah, it's also the case where one person injures another, have to be done by a base din of three. The difference is one needs smuch and one doesn't, but as we'll see over there, but the point is, Marsha explains, from dinim mominus, that now you learn dinim mamonos and you become a chacham, eventually you rise to the level of being a mumcha and being able to deal with chavolos. Benanus was able to bring an analogy from the dinim of chavolos, where one person has the other one grabbed by the neck, shows that he's already a chacham in dinim mamonos, and therefore he's on his way now to becoming, to eventually getting smicha and becoming a mumcha as far as dinim chavolos. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel praised him and said that if you want to be a chacham and dinim mamonos, then that will, if you want to be oisik and dinim mamonos, that will lead you to the chachma of then being able to deal with gzeilus v'chavolos and be a mumcha. Anyway, going back to our Gemara, Amar Rav Abba Chana Amar Yechanan, Afa Pisha Kilish Rabbi Shmuel is Benanus, even though we see in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel praised Benanus, nevertheless, halacha k'moitzeh. Nevertheless, the halacha is that Rabbi Shmuel, that that in the case of the orev hayotzeh l'achav chitum shtoreth, that he is actually an orev. You can collect from his nechasim and echorim, not like Benanus. Okay. So now we have the question: b'chanuk mali? What mali omer Rabbi Shmuel? What about, would Rabbi Shmuel disagree with Benanus about the case of the chanuk, the guy where the guy has his hands on the other guy's neck and telling him you got to pay up? Benanus brought that as an analogy for his case. We don't see in the Mishnah whether Rabbi Shmuel accepted that case at all. Tashma, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yechonon, Cholokai Rabbi Shmuel, Ach B'Chanuk. Yes, as a matter of fact, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Benanus also about the case of the Chanuk. He would hold that there also the guy is an Orev. He's not an Orev as far as Meshavadim, but he's an Orev at least as far as Bnei Chorin. Halacha k'moisei. Okay, is the halacha like Rabbi Shmuel in that, or maybe in that case is the halacha like Benanus? Tashma, d'ki also Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan. We can prove this because when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported that Rabbi Yechanan said cholokai Rabbi Shmuel after Chanuk. Yes, Rabbi Shmuel disagreed also in the case of Chanuk. The halacha k'moisei after Chanuk, and yes, the halacha is like him also with the Chanuk. Which the point is, the Rashbam explains, the two sides of the question is, on the one hand, maybe he feels bad for the other guy is being chanuk, so therefore maybe he's willing to take on the actual responsibility of an Arev, or maybe it's just like the expression the Gemara said the other day, mitzvah hu dekavid, he's saying it in order to facilitate a mitzvah, to get the malva to leave the loiva alone, but maybe he's not really taking on the responsibility of an Arev. We're saying Rabbi Shmuel holds he is actually meaning to take on that responsibility, and the halacha is he tax attacker takes on that responsibility because of the tsar of the other guy. Therefore, he's willing, the same way as we said at the beginning of the sugya of Orev, that we said because a person has the hana, that the other guy trusts him as an Orev, therefore he's willing to take on that responsibility. Same way over here, because he's saving another yid from tsar, and he's willing to take on that obligation.
So you lend money to someone, not paying you back so fast, find someone who's rich and start choking the guy in front of him.
I guess so, yeah. Yep. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Chonuk v'konu miyodei mishtabed. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, in this case of Chonuk, where the Malva is pressuring the Loiva to pay him, and the other guy comes and the other guy comes by and says, leave him alone, I'll be the Oriv. V'konu miyodei, if he made a kinyan on it, mishtabed. Then he's mishabed himself as an Orev. What does that imply? That implies Mitzal de Orev Ba'amaloyboy Kinyan, which implies that in a usual case of Orev, you don't need a Kinyan. Only in this case, because it's an unusual way of becoming an Orev, do you actually need a Kinyan, they're saying, in order to make it official that he is actually an Orev. Well, Pliga did Rav Nachman, which means that Shmuel disagrees with Rav Nachman. The Amar Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says, there's a different situation where you don't need a kinyan. Orev de Beistin who delight bari kinyan. An Orev of Beistin does not require a kinyan. What is an Orev of Beistin? The Rashbam says that it means he doesn't spell out in so many words, he just says that Beistin trusts him. So evidently the Rashbam understands, and some other Rishonim say it more explicitly, that it means that he agrees in presence of Beistin to become an Orev. So the Malva takes the Loiva to Beistin, and there's a bystander over there who says, fine, I'm willing to be an Orev on his behalf. The fact that Beistin is willing to trust him is again Gomer Meshabed. On that basis, that Beistin trusts him, and then that he gets himself a good name over there, he's willing to be an Orev. The Rambam has a different understanding of it. The Rambam understands that we're talking about a case not even necessarily involving a Havah. You can have a case where a person is required by Beistin to pay a certain amount of money, and let's say for a nezek or something, and they want a guarantor that the money is actually going to be paid to the nezek in a timely fashion. So somebody offers to be an Orev. That's an Orev to Beistin, where he's serving as an Orev. That Beistin will actually see that money, which can then be paid to the nezek. So then, sort of. So then you don't need a kinyan. Hoba amo boi kinyan, which implies, according to Rav Nachman, any other case of an Orev would need a kinyan in order to be an actual Orev. Which again is different than what Shmuel said, that only in the case of Chanuk do you need a kinyan. Okay. The Hilchasa, the bottom line halacha is, Orev b'shach matan moris loy boi kinyan, if he becomes an Orev at the time of the giving of the money, when the money is actually lent, then you don't need a kinyan for that. So therefore, if it's written in the shtar that he's an Orev, and before the signature is of the Edom, it says Yulacha on the side, it says that the Ashash wants to say it should be Kodim, okay, whatever, then you can even collect from his Mechosim B'Shabadim. Acha Matan Mois Boi Kinyan, any time he's going to become an Orev after money changed hands, after the Havah took place, then in order for him to be an Orev, you will need a Kinyan. On the other hand, Orev de Beistin, Loi Boi Kinyan, but if it's an Orev de Beistin, the kind that we just described, that is an exception. That does not require a Kinyan, because of the Hanah that Beistin trusts him, Gomel Meshabed Le, therefore he's willing to be Meshabed himself even without a Kinyan. So you don't need a Kinyan if it's Lufnei Matan Mars, or if it's in the presence of Beistin. Every other case, you need a Kinyan in order for him to be an Orev.
So even right after?
So that's what I mean. The Rashbam that we have over here, he says, La'acha chitum shoris, but the Rashash changes it to kodim chitum shoris, because it's la'acha chitum shoris, and still have, like the Mishnah said, he's still not a full-fledged Orev yet. And there is a bit of discussion about that in Shulchan Aruch among the different notes of Caleb and all, whether maybe if he became an Orev la'acha matan mod, but it was written, but before the shtar was written. So the Matan Maris, let's say, took place in the morning. In the afternoon, they wrote the Shtar, and by that time, the guy had agreed to be an Orev. Maybe in that case, he can still be an Orev without a Kinyan, or maybe not. It's a Macholikus over there in Shulchan Aruch. Hadron Malach get Pasha to Slickle of Masechta Bavadra, and we will do the Siyum next week, Beis Hashem. So now in the... So we'll do the Siyum during the 9 days, Beis Hashem. So for now...